Sunday the 2nd of June 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, All at Sea. Sermon title, Living Water. Bible reading, John chapter 4, verses 4 to 24. Talk by Neil Wellesby.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of John chapter 4, reading from verse 4 to 24. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you your living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we just ask that you would make our hearts acceptable and our thoughts acceptable in your sight. Be with us and inspire us through the power of your Spirit. Amen. The account you just heard is actually the second account in the beginning of John's Gospel of one-on-one meetings that Jesus has with individuals. And they're actually quite a contrast. The first one in John 3 was a character called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, but he was also a member of the Jewish Parliament. So he was actually a really key guy. And he came to Jesus at night. Notice that, he came at night. He didn't want to come in the daylight, he came at night. And he asked a very simple question. He said to Jesus, "How can I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus would say, "Come on, you're a religious guy. You're a Pharisee, you know everything. Why are you coming to me asking me, how can I inherit eternal life?" But that's what he'd done. And he came because he'd seen something so significant in Jesus already and in his teaching that he wanted to discover more. And Jesus gave him a very simple answer. He said to him, okay, it's very easy. You just need to be born again of water, and notice that, of water and the Spirit. Simple as that. Be born again of water and the Spirit. Then we jump into chapter 3 that Gwen's just read for us. And some would say we've just gone from the sublime to the ridiculous. Because now he's outside Judah and he's now in Samaria. And he sets up a one-to-one, not with a Samaritan man, but with a Samaritan woman. The lowest of the low, as far as Jews were concerned. You couldn't get any lower. And he met her at a well. And he starts talking about living water, having asked her, could you get me a drink out of the well? And there he was talking to this sinful Samaritan woman. But these words about living water are deeper, they're more lasting than the well of Jacob that he was actually sat next to. The well had been there for 1800 years. The tradition was that Jacob, one of the founding fathers of Israel, had built it. It was supposedly 120 feet deep. And she was there with her bucket, looking at him, thinking, no bucket. And he's talking about giving her living water. What's that about? The water at the bottom of the well would have been stagnant water. It wouldn't be considered as living water. It would be considered like pond water, or if you've got your drains connected up, barrel water. It sustains life, but what it doesn't do is give life. And Jesus was talking about living water. Living water is life-giving. It's not just life-sustaining. It's the water that saves. It's the water that satisfies. Earlier on, one of the first things that Jesus did in John's Gospel was go to a wedding. And when he was at the wedding, they were running out of wine. And his mother told the steward, just do what he tells you to do. And he said to them, go off and those 12 jars over there, which were actually man-sized jars, fill them up with water. Those man-sized jars in Jewish tradition were actually used for ritual purification. Before certain acts, Jews had to purify themselves. And the water that had to go into those jars had to be spring or river water. It had to be living water. Much more vibrant, much more health-giving. But that's the significance, because they were washing themselves clean of their sin before they came into the ritual that they had to perform. But in Jesus' case, where does the living water come from? Where does that water come from? Well, verse 10 tells us that. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So the living water that he's talking about is actually his gift. It's Jesus' gift. It comes from Jesus. And it's a special gift that's tied in with the other part of what he said to Nicodemus, you need to be born again of water and the Spirit. The two are tied together. The Spirit is there to bubble up inside as the living water bubbled up inside. John 17:2 tells us, for you granted him, that is Jesus, authority over all people, that he might give eternal life. He might give eternal life to all those you have given him. And who has been given? Everybody. All they have to do is turn to him. That's what Nicodemus was finding out. That's what the woman is finding out. This special living water. But why did she need it? What was it about this woman that was such in need? Well, as we look at her, we have to think, why was she going to the well at midday? Nobody goes to the well at midday. That's the hottest part of the day. If you've been in Israel, you'll know it's not a time to be moving around. It's a time for siesta. It's a time not to be out. It's just way too hot. And in fact, although going and getting the water was a woman's job, they went early in the morning or in the evening, in the cool of the day. And that's when the women gather together, you know, quick chat, have a gossip, catch up with each other. Fantastic. Ah, but our woman is not there. She's there in the middle of the day. Some sort of outcast. She's somebody who they didn't want to see. She'd been thrown out. And what was her need? Well, Jesus recognized she needed acceptance. She needed love. She didn't need any more rejection. She didn't need any more hate. She needed to be brought back into society and recognized to be just as valuable as everybody else. And it's fascinating, isn't it, that, you know, he then asks her to do something for him. He says, go and fetch your husband. Now, here's the real problem, because she then turned around and said, I'm sorry, I haven't got a husband. And then Jesus reveals something, spirit of discernment. The spirit of God is on him. And he says to her, I know you've not got a husband. You've had five husbands. And the guy you're living with in the moment is not even your husband. Now that, even in Samaritan society, was a complete and absolute no-no. And it was a definite no-no in Jewish society, which is why she was despised, why she was rejected, why she was thrown out. But hang on a minute, why is Jesus even talking to her? She's a woman. The convention was out that he shouldn't even be having anything to do with her. He shouldn't even be addressing her. But he's there. He's having a talk with her. And what's he doing? He's offering her living water. He's saying to her, there is something special. Something that I can give you. I can give you. A free gift from God. Grace. Grace. God's riches. Christ's expense. Absolute grace, a gift of God, a new life, a new way forward. But what about the effect of this living water? Have any of you come across the organisation called WaterAid? I'm sure some of you might have done. They're a charitable organisation that's actually involved out in the world trying to provide clean water for those that are not. I just want to read you a little bit from one of their adverts. Right now, some of the world's poorest and most marginalised people don't have clean water to drink, decent toilets or hygiene. Without these basics, overcoming poverty is just a dream. But when you help us to dig a well or install a tap in a community, you are changing the lives of children like Dinah for the better. They can dream again. Every child should have a bright future ahead of them and focus on being a child. Not walking long distances, 2 or 3 hours a day, to fill up a container with dirty water. Because that's all they can get. Today, 1 in 9 people do not have clean water close to home. We'll keep working until everyone everywhere has clean water, decent toilets and good hygiene. But we can't do it without you. WaterAid have seen the value of something that we just take completely for granted. We can go in, we can turn on a tap and it just pours out. Flashes are here. It's just there. We take it completely for granted. But look at that. What they were saying was, you know, there are so many billions of people out there that can't even get clean water. But Jesus is offering not clean water, he's offering living water. He's offering a new relationship. the advert was suggesting to us that actually these people needed to break out of their position. Just clean water. So that the kids could go off to school instead of having to spend their time going and fetching the water. And the dirty water is what it says it is. It's got lots of diseases in it. It causes lots of problems in their lives. It fits in very well with the concept of sin in our lives. That that pollutes us, that that draws us away from God. But Jesus is offering something much more powerful than that, living water. You know, the heart of the earth, as WaterAid had proved, can yield to us crystal clear, pure water. Through springs, through aquifers. Just sometimes they need to put a borehole down to get to the right place so they can provide that sort of clean water. But Jesus is offering something much, much deeper. He's saying to us, God has a gift for us. That gift is living water. The water that comes from the relationship with God himself. He's saying, you won't thirst again. You don't need to thirst again. Well, in a physical sense we will, but in a spiritual sense we will not be, because we come into this depth of relationship with God. And Jesus was showing his power in that situation. He was demonstrating, as he demonstrated with Nicodemus, there is a relationship there for you with God. All you have to do is ask. What does Luke 11:9 tell us? It says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who receives, who asks, receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And God is offering that to anybody who's not in that relationship with him today. He's offering you living water. A relationship with him in such a way. And the thing is, as we've already recognised, it's totally free. There's no strings attached to it. It's God's gift to us. Verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. This physical life is just the beginning. It's the start of a whole process that is bound up in eternal life. And the reality is that God is in that and wants that for us because he loves us that much. Revelation 22:17 says this to us, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. That gift, as it was to the Samaritan woman, is yours today. To take to yourself. The prophet Isaiah back in the Old Testament says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. It is freely available. God is giving it to us. And just a little bit further on in John's Gospel, Jesus says this to us. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink. God's offer to you this morning, living water. Let's pray. Father, out of your word, we just ask the confirmation in our hearts and lives of your Spirit, that you would just draw us closer to you and build on our relationships with you, so that we can go out and be your witnesses to a lost and sin-forsaken world, so that others will know the reality of your truth, to the glory and praise of your name. Amen.